one of the sweetest and most faithful and godly servants of the Lord it's ever been my pleasure to know and fellowship with. Daisy Florence McKenzie was born on November 26, 1889 in Scotland, Great Britain, and received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior at the tender age of 14 years. She graduated from the Educational Institute of Scotland with honors on March 30, 1911, and took up teaching as a vocation. As a young school teacher in Scotland, but more importantly, as a dedicated Christian young lady seeking to walk according to the Word of God and in His will, she met and fell in love with a young Scottish preacher by the name of Murdo McKenzie. After a time of waiting on the Lord for definite guidance in the matter and determining it was the Lord's will they marry, Murdo McKenzie and Daisy Dixon were married on April 27, 1921. And for 20 years, they, the two of them together, labored for the Lord in the Highlands of Scotland, traveling from town to town and village to village by gospel caravan. There they saw fruit for their labor and the salvation of many precious souls. After having heard the Macedonian call to service in the Bahama Islands, and after much prayer in the matter, they were commended to the work of the Lord in the Bahamas on May 8, 1934, by brethren meeting at the Gospel Hall Nairn, Scotland, and arrived in Nassau on July 4th the same year. The Mackenzies were immediately about their master's business in the Family Islands as well as in Nassau, preaching the good news of the gospel to all who would listen. And as a result of this, many received Christ by faith. I believe Mr. and Mrs. Bernard Fell arrived in the Bahamas not long after the Mackenzies. And often these two missionary couples would travel from island to island and village to village, bringing the Word of God to young and old alike. For 35 years, the Mackenzies faithfully preached Christ in the Bahama Islands and elsewhere, of course. Together they wrought for God until the Lord saw fit to take Mr. Mackenzie home to glory on April 4th, 1969. Children and children's meetings occupied an important place in their heart and in their service for the Lord. Mrs. McKenzie began having children's meetings in their garage shortly after they built their little home in Nassau Rose Cottage in 1939, I believe it was. And as the numbers increased, they moved from the garage into their home and then to the garden outside, and finally, to accommodate the numbers, they were forced to move to Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel. Many children were saved and blessed as his faithful sister taught the Word of God to young hearts and as they memorized the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, the organist who played at her funeral service was saved in one of Mrs. McKenzie's children's meetings. After the home call of her dear husband and until she was stricken with a disabling stroke in 1976, Mrs. McKenzie continued in the work of the Lord in Nassau, speaking at sisters' meetings, at the women's prison, and to all who sought her wise and godly counsel. She was faithfully present at all of the meetings, even when it was with extreme difficulty because of the frailty of the flesh, and always with a lovely smile, a cheerful and an encouraging greeting. She was blessed with a gentle and a loving, a kind disposition. Her life, her personality, her very person permeated with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and many have been blessed because of the privilege of knowing and of fellowshipping with that dear sister in Christ. Even during her long illness, a visit at her bedside never failed to bring a sweet smile to her face that seemed to light up the whole room. And I must commend the Christians, particularly the Christians at Shirley Heights Assembly, who so lovingly and faithfully cared for her during the 4 years of affliction, when she was completely helpless, unable to do anything for herself. These Christians rallied round in a way I had never seen or known before. Staff was placed in the home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the entire 4 years of her illness. One of them, a trained nurse, and at all times there were two, and for about 12 hours a day, three in the home taking care of Mrs. McKenzie. Nothing was done in a slipshod manner. Brethren and sisters cared for her lovingly, kindly, faithfully attending to her every need. And believe me, nothing was lacking. And though the financial cost was great, yet it was fully met through the kindness and generosity of Christians who knew her and loved her dearly. The funeral service was held at Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel, and there was a great crowd of people from all walks of life. Not only Christians from the six assemblies in Nassau, but from other churches as well. An effort was made to have representative brethren from all the assemblies in Nassau have a part in the service, either audibly or as pallbearers. Mr. Ed Allen, a Bahamian evangelist and radio preacher who broadcasts on several radio programs on a regular basis, opened the meeting in prayer. A solo, "Someday the Silver Cord Will Break," was sung by Mr. Leroy Grant of East Street Gospel Chapel. Emery Lowe, here with us tonight, told about Mrs. McKenzie's children's meetings held over a period of many years. As a matter of fact, Emery attended those children's meetings as a young boy. Mr. Cecil Cartwright, an elder from another assembly, spoke on behalf of the Christians in Nassau and the Family Islands and related personal experiences with the McKenzies, how they had been such a blessing in his life and in the lives of thousands of people in the Bahamas. Mr. Cecil Sims, well known to many here tonight, and a veteran worker of the Bahamas, brought a brief message from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, emphasizing the believer's assurance, "We know," of the believer's confidence of life through Christ's death, of being clothed with his righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself, of reconciliation through Christ, and of the believer's desire to be with Christ and like Christ eternally. Mr. Sims also challenged any unsaved person to place their faith and trust in Christ, who is able and willing to save all who will come to him by faith. Mr. Russell Bethel, another elder from Central Chapel in Nassau, closed in prayer. After this, there was a brief service at the graveside when Mr. Alec Pender of Shirley Heights brought a short but a very challenging message to the believers from James 5, 10 to 11. And these are the words, "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Alec challenged the Christians, taking Mrs. McKenzie as an example, not only during her life of service for the Lord Jesus, but more especially during her 4 years of suffering, affliction, with patience, bravely, the joy of the Lord filling her heart and the love of God flowing through her and touching and affecting the lives of everyone who visited with her. Mrs. McKenzie has left behind a wonderful testimony, a precious legacy, a legacy of many spiritual children, an example for others to follow. And as I attended that funeral and took part in that funeral service, I wondered, after all the things had been said at that funeral service, what will be my testimony? What will be the testimony of all who attended? What will be the testimony of all here tonight as we are taken home to glory? Will we be an ensample for others to follow, as was the case of our dear departed sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, Mrs. Murdo McKenzie? A lovely Christian, a lovely Christian lady, a person that has been my great joy to know and to have fellowship with for many years. We trust a few remarks about this lovely person will exercise our hearts for his name's sake.